If our vision is to embrace God's mission, we should know what His mission is. A mission is really just a calling or an assignment, something for us to go do. So what is it that God has given us? What is His mission for us? What does He want us to do? There's a lot of messages from God about what He wants for us, who He wants us to be, how He wants us to love each other and love other people. A lot of things, a lot of messages from Him. And they're all very good, and they're all supporting messages, but at the end of Matthew 28:19, He left His disciples one clear mission, one clear instruction for us to do. I think this message, He gave it to the disciples, but it's for us too. Matthew 28:19, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." That's it. It's real simple. Go and make disciples. Spread His message, tell others about His love, bring the gospel to them, show them how to be My followers, how to be My people. That's the whole mission. Some of us have a hard time with that. It's really hard to show other people our love. You could take a lot of personality tests and find out why that is and who it is. It's just kind of hard to do that for some people. It's hard to share the gospel. It's hard to talk to people about Jesus. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it are personal reasons. Some of it are cultural. It's a hard conversation to start. It's a little bit sketchy. It's kind of touchy. What's going to happen if I mention Jesus? Whatever the reason that it's hard, we're not on this mission alone. We don't have to go do this by ourselves in a cold, hard world. The end of this, Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I give you this mission, and I'm going with you. You're not alone. I'll be with you all the way to the end. Whatever you're going through, I'm there. I'm going with you." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 28, He calls disciples to come follow Him. Matthew 4:18. "Walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, 'Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed Him." He told Peter and Andrew that He would teach them to fish for men. He would show them how. "Come with Me, and I'll show you how to do this." He didn't send them out alone. He didn't send them out to go catch fish and let me know how it goes and report back and bring them. "Follow Me, and I'll show you how." I love the story of Ananias in Acts chapter 9 because I identify with him quite a lot, really. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 10. "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, here I am, Lord.' He said, 'Here, I'm here. What do you want?' 'Whatever you want, I'll do it. I'm ready to go.' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon that name.'" That's how I feel Here I am, Lord, whatever you want. Wait, what? This Saul guy, I've heard of this guy. He's killing people. He has authority from the government to kill the Christians, to take your people. I'm willing, Lord, but this guy, that's a tall order. I don't know, Lord. Are you sure? But the Lord said to him, verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. He is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias says, I'm ready, Lord, whatever you want. Wait, that's a big, are you sure? And God said, I'm sure. Go and do this. And when Ananias went, all he had to say was, God sent me here for you. And the rest of it was done. Not only was God with him and went with him, God already prepared the way. God already set everything up for his mission. And he sent Ananias on his mission. And that's how I feel, like I'm not sure I'm really ready for this mission, but I know God not only promised that he would be with me, he's already made the way. He's already been out there ahead of me. He already knows what the journey's like. He knows what's going on, and he made it ready for me. When he sends us on this mission, he is not sending us alone by ourselves. In 2010, Ed Stetzer wrote in Christianity Today, he wrote that we are not sent on mission alone. God's people join him on his mission. The mission of God in the world is one, and we are commanded and empowered to participate on that very same mission. We know this because Jesus promised, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are sent on a mission with the sender. And it's not an empty mission. You need not worry that you're going to do all this work and nothing comes of it. In Isaiah 55, verse 10, God tells us that when I send it, when I command it, it's going to happen. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. He has sent us out to make disciples, to spread his word, to tell of his love and his message, and he has not sent us alone, and his message and his mission won't be wasted. He's not sending us out there for no good reason, just to see if we can do it, or just to build us up, but for his mission. So, if we know all that, I suspect there's really not much of this that's news to you, to most of you. If we know all that, what's holding us back? Why are we not out there? I'm not all the time. What's holding us back? There's a lot of different reasons. A lot of reasons that we're hesitant to go out and go fishing for men and doing this. I'll tell you my story, what holds me back, what gives me a little bit of pause. And it's different for different people. Everybody has some different reason. Maybe my story will help you understand your story a little bit, help you find what it is that's holding you back, and help you understand how God's going to help you with this. He helps us all in different ways. So I've shared some of this story with some other people in bits and pieces. So maybe you've already heard some of it. Maybe this will help you out. So Peter and Andrew, Jesus told them, and he told us, that he would make us fishers of men. which means go talk to people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts." This passage tells me that we don't all have the same gifts, and I think we all understand that, and it's quite obvious at times that we don't all have the same gifts. And it tells me that maybe some of us, maybe me, are not gifted as fishermen to be out there talking to people and telling these things. I don't really like fishing. This is good news. I may not have that gift. Whatever my gift is, I should be using it. That's important. That's pretty clear. When I say I don't like fishing, I'm uncomfortable going up to people individually and starting a conversation. Just, "Hey, how you doing?" When I travel, there's thousands of people in the airport I can talk to, and somebody sitting right next to me on the airplane I could talk to, and I'm putting in earplugs. Leave me alone. I want to read. I don't like to start conversations with strangers and people that I don't know. I don't like to go out there and go fishing. And especially a conversation about a topic that might be a little bit controversial, religion. That's a conversation, you know, avoid certain things, don't talk to people. And that might be a little controversial and might make people mad. And I'm just not good at fishing. I don't like to go fishing. What I like to do, I like to build boats. I like to drive the church bus so that other people can go to seminars and retreats and camp and they can learn how to be fishermen. And I like to organize a retreat so other people can come and learn to be fishermen. I like to work backstage to have everything ready so you can learn how to be a fisherman. I even like to stand here and tell you how to be a fisherman and lift you up and do things like that to help you out. So this is good news. This tells me it's okay. If I have that gift, I should be using it and doing that. But there's a catch. There's a catch to this whole thing. Boats are important to the kingdom. Fishermen need boats. But Jesus didn't tell me he would teach me how to build boats. Maybe I got that gift, but he didn't tell me that's what he would teach me. He said he would teach me to be fishers of men. And I can't really hide behind this and say that's not my gift. I'm not doing that. And as hard as it is to do that, it's okay because I'm not going alone. I don't have to get in a boat and go out there and get lost somewhere in the ocean and feel like I'm alone. I'm not alone. He is going with me. He said he would come with me. And I can do this. He'll show me how. Something else, as I've been thinking on this story for a couple of years, I've had some time to think about what it means to build boats and to be fishermen. And I've realized a few things about this. You know, the best boat builders are people that have some experience using boats. People that have been in a boat, that know how it works, and know what it takes to catch a fish. They're the best people for building boats and mending nets and doing all the things to support the fishermen. You need a little experience doing this. If you want to be on the mission, if you want to support the mission, you need to have gone on the mission to know what it's like and how to encourage and build up the people that are on the mission. Another fear, maybe what's holding you back, is a fear of not knowing enough about the gospel to tell other people, to share it. I don't, you know, it's There's some atheists out there that know more about the Bible than I do. They know it inside and out, and they can call it up right now, and I'm not that quick with it. Thankfully, I have the internet in my pocket, and I can look it up pretty quick, but that's not really helpful when you're having a conversation. Maybe you don't know enough, but you know, it doesn't really take a lot to go fishing. You don't have to be an expert. All you need is a piece of string and a hook. Maybe you don't need, but there's some people catch fish barehanded. They don't have any equipment. You can go with the barest thing. You can get the biggest boat with all the equipment and catch tons and tons of fish all at once, or you can just go with a string and a hook. Maybe some bait, maybe not. You can catch your bait while you're out there. It doesn't take a lot. And you don't really have to do a lot of talking. Somebody else told me, reminded me, that the great thing about fishing is you just go out and you sit quietly for hours. You don't have to say anything. Job's friends were the best comforters when they kept quiet. And going fishing can be the same. Just sit quietly with people. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's important to remember. Good boat builders need some experience, and Jesus said he would teach me how. He said he would teach me how. If I resist that, and I say that's not my gift, and I don't want to go fishing, how can I say that I'm his follower? How can I say that I am his, but I don't really want to take that part of the mission? Ananias said, here I am. What do you want? And after a little coaxing, he went. And that's what I want. Here I am. I'll go. I'll do it. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry said, if you want to build a boat, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up men to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. You don't really have to know all the details of how it's going to work and what's going to happen and how we're going to get there. Just teach people what you love. Show them the love for the sea, and they'll build a boat. Show people the love for Christ, and they'll come. You don't have to know every detail. 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us a little bit about why we're doing this. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10, I'll go on, says, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 9 says, you are a chosen, a people for God's own possession, so that you can proclaim his glory. We've been chosen so we can go on this mission, so we can tell people about his glory and about his love. So the conversation is still hard. It's still difficult to do that. Maybe you need an icebreaker. You can ask, how's the weather? How do you like this weather? I was in Connecticut this week, and I loved the weather while they were all moaning and complaining about how warm it was and how humid, and I was saying, this is fantastic. So it was an opportunity to talk about the weather, and the conversation got going. But how do I move on to the next part of the conversation? Ronnie Fitzgerald tells a story about a lady that had a question for him, a lady he didn't know they were sitting with, and she says, tell me your God story. That's a little shocking, but okay. I've heard him tell that a couple of times, and I've been thinking about it some, and I realized the great part about that question, or that opening line, tell me your God story, is it opens it for people to tell you whatever God it is they believe in or that they don't believe in. It opens it for anything. And as they tell you their story, it makes a way for you to tell your story. For you to say, let me tell you about my God and the love and the compassion that he has and what he wants for you and all of these things. And if they believe in the God of Israel that we do, and they see him as a harsh taskmaster, you can tell them about the God you know that's full of love. There's a lot of people that are not here because they're worried about how harsh God is, and we can tell them about love. Asking that question, tell me your God story, just opens it up for you to tell your story and what you can share with them. I could tell you a whole lot more stories about what I don't like to do and how hard it was for me, not today, but to generally learn to be on a stage and speak to people. A lot of different things that I've come to do that make it hard for you to believe that I'm an introvert and I don't like doing this mission. But it doesn't matter. What matters is that I've learned to talk about what I love. I can talk a long time about the things that I love. Be careful what you ask me. It might get me started. But if you go talk to people about what you love and tell them the love that you have for Christ, then the mission is easy. God is with you, and He's already prepared the way. He's already out there. He's already given you the way, and He'll go there with you on that mission. I haven't really talked today about how to become a disciple. I've talked about how we can go and help this mission to make disciples, but I haven't talked about how to become a disciple. But if you've already studied that and you're ready to take that step, when we stand and sing this song, our elders will be around the room and you can go talk to them. It doesn't look like we have a baptistry ready, but we do have. If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, we can accommodate that. If you want to know more about being a disciple, if you have questions about that, you can talk to all these missionaries in this room. I think all of them will be ready to tell you about their love. Let's sing.